your employees are using Macs more than ever and bringing them to work more than ever, but managers are still apprehensive about putting Apple products on the company and agency network. David Johnson is a senior analyst at Forrester. He's been looking at what you should do to integrate Apples into your agency's network. David, it's good to have you on the program. Thanks for being here this afternoon.
Thank you for inviting me, Francis.
What are you finding as far as organizations that are successfully integrating either their own equipment or bring your own device type programs when it comes to Apple products on what have been almost exclusively Microsoft networks for many years now?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a couple of different approaches, and it depends on how regulated that business is. Obviously, the more regulated industries are struggling with security and other things a bit more. However, those that have been successful in bringing them in are taking what I call a laissez-faire approach. They're allowing them to come in. They're configuring them for email, helping employees get them configured on the network, in some cases deploying Windows virtual machines to help. So, I mean, employing technologies that will help ease these things in, but in general, not, you know, using a heavy-handed approach.
One of the issues that agency chief information officers talk to me about is the virtual machines idea, and that's something that has been around the Apple universe for decades, I guess, as long as such technology existed, just because there have been historically, especially in the enterprise, software pieces, packages, applications that weren't ever available in the Apple universe, and so virtual desktops were popular. Is that going to be, do you think, the key to getting more widespread acceptance and more open-minded acceptance of Apple products on the enterprise?
It's a great question. And the short answer is yes. But the reason for that is it takes time for companies to make major changes to back-end line of business applications and other things so that they're compatible with new browsers and so on and new operating systems. So in those cases, it makes more sense sometimes for a company to deploy a Windows virtual machine either hosted in the data center or residents on top of the Mac to allow that kind of access without having to modernize infrastructure. And it also provides security.
You are writing that in this report, which we have information about linked up at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, that contrary to what I think a lot of people thought, if you were going to ask them about just perceptions about Mac users, Mac users qualify as power users. They use their machines a lot more and a lot more productively than it appears that Windows-based users use those. Why do you think that is? Is that is there a correlation there, or is it a chicken and egg type thing that you can't really determine which came first?
Well, I didn't mean to imply that there aren't power users using Windows as well.
Correct, and I didn't take that. impression.
But what's changed is the demographic of people that are using Macs now versus maybe a few years ago. I think they'd always been associated with graphic designers and the marketing department and creative types, and those are power users. But what you're seeing now is executive boardrooms filled with Macs, you know, chief architects, enterprise architects using Macs, sales reps and traveling road warriors. I mean, by all measures, these are high-performing people, and they are showing an increasing preference for Macs, and that's in the data.
You've got a list of 6 steps to enable Macs in your organization. You talked about the empowerment over control element of that a minute ago. One of them is fostering a self-supporting community of Mac users. You write about choosing Mac-specific tools for your empowerment needs. Talk about that one a little bit.
So we found, and this was a bit of a surprise. Our premise going into the research was that, you know, there are a lot of Windows management tool vendors that have added capabilities for Mac management that would be adequate. And in some cases, that's true. But in general, the customers we interviewed had all said that they had the best success with buying a best-of-breed Mac or, you know, iPhone or iPad-type management tool for those specific needs. And the reason was those tools are typically designed with absolute focus on those platforms, and so they're easier to use for those purposes.
You also write pick point solutions for solving specific challenges. What does that mean exactly?
So there are a couple of things that in a Windows environment stand out as challenges for Macs. One of them is Active Directory and group policy. So, you know, being able to apply those to Macs as you do with Windows machines to enforce password policies and, you know, replicate user accounts and so on. That's one. And the other area is Windows file sharing. And most companies and organizations have lots of documents and so forth stored on Windows file shares on the network. And accessing those is not always a perfectly smooth process from Macintosh. And so there's a couple of companies that make software that that make that easier.
You also write in this report about organizations that have huge quantities of Macs on their enterprise. For somebody at a federal agency trying to think about how this works, I would direct you to the passage that you write about a medium-sized consumer electronics manufacturer with 200 Macs and 9,000 PCs, and you write about the integration there. It's a fascinating report, Dave, and I appreciate you being on with me to talk about it this afternoon.
My pleasure. Thank you, Francis.
Dave Johnson, senior analyst at Forrester, and you can read more about the report at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.